The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
So welcome to Happy Hour. For those of you who don't know me, I'm Diana Clark. I teach Happy Hour here with alternating every other week, more or less, with Nikki Mercafori. And today I'd like to talk a little bit about the way that we interact with other people, kind of like our communication styles. That is, that if we notice, we often have like this movement of kind of like opening up and then closing down. Or maybe they're just open a little bit and then closing down and then opening way up. That could be within a single conversation with people. That could be with different people. We tend to be a little bit more open, and with other people we tend to be closed. Or maybe we start out a conversation a little bit more open, and then the person says something and then we feel kind of like shut down or closed down, or the opposite. Maybe we kind of show up kind of closed down, and then somebody says something or their body language or something, and then we open up a little bit. So I've been doing this with my hands, so we kind of like get a little bit contracted or a little bit more spacious. But though it can be in the words that we choose, the tone of our voice, the body language. You know, everybody knows this, right? You know, this is kind of, you know, a little more closed up, whereas, well, I'm sitting cross-legged, but, you know, to be a little bit more open. So you can use these words open and close in whatever way makes sense for you, in whatever way that you feel it or that you sense it in yourself or sense it in others. But this is, you know, perfectly natural. This is something that we all do. We speak, we communicate in different ways with different people. We have different levels of intimacy, and we have different levels of sense of safety or confidence with other people. But if we want to be an effective communicator, which of course really supports having healthy relationships, whether it's our coworkers, that person at the grocery store, our partners, our kids, our parents, whomever, if we want to have an effective communication, it's helpful to pay attention to this, to pay attention, like, when do we shut down and when are we open? And maybe we can notice, like, what are the triggers? What are some of the things that precipitate either a movement of this? And we're noticing not so that we can condemn ourselves and say, oh, you really should be this way or you really should be that way. We're just noticing so that we can learn a little bit about ourselves. What are the situations in which we feel more sensitive, less open? What are the situations in which we feel more relaxed, less tense, and therefore a little bit more open? And then as we pay attention, we'll notice that kind of having this little bit more of this closed feeling goes along often, not always. Sometimes we just close and become silent. But sometimes there's also a little bit of defensiveness that shows up. And that defensiveness, maybe we can tend to like hold tighter to our views, hold tighter to our opinions. I'm right, I know it, and you might be a nice person, but you're wrong. You know, that kind of a thing, right, when we're feeling a little bit defensive or a lot defensive. And when we're really stuck in the throes of it, somehow we have this, we're telling ourselves some version of the story of, well, relationships aren't that important, or at least not this one, you know, that it's more important that I'm right, or it's more important that I defend myself. And then we, you know, may kind of like not value other people. If we're not valuing relationships, we're not valuing other people. Or maybe we undervalue them, and we feel a little bit mistrustful that they might hurt us. And maybe they have hurt us in the past, right? Maybe it's perfectly legitimate. Maybe they are in the process of hurting us, saying mean things, saying inappropriate things, stepping over boundaries, behaving inappropriately. But we can just notice, so sometimes it's appropriate for us to not be so open. Maybe it's to be a little bit more protective so that we don't repeatedly find ourselves getting hurt. But of course, that's not the only way forward. And sometimes we often are open and relax in our communication, when we communicate with others, where we are a little bit more open-minded, more apt to and willing to think about something differently, learn something, change our minds, be open to what's happening. And when we're in that kind of more open place, we tend to be a little bit more in touch with what's happening around us, right? When we're a little bit more open, there's this sense of, you know, what's happening with the other person, what's happening with ourselves, kind of what's the bigger picture of the event, of the conversation, of the interaction. And of course, with that is we tend to value relationships and value these interactions that we have with other people, which makes sense, right? When we're not feeling shut down and uncomfortable. But something interesting happens too with these conversations that are be open, maybe the most open that we have, where we feel the most comfortable. There's a heartfeltness, maybe a tenderness, an authenticity, a warmth, a feeling of care with the other person, with ourselves. We're not disconnected from either ourselves or the other person. So this openness has this, I use this word, heartfeltness. Again, you can interpret that in many different ways, in a way that feels comfortable for you. But the fun thing, fascinating thing, interesting thing, is that this works both ways. So having a sense of openness leads to heartfeltness, but we can cultivate heartfeltness that then leads to openness also. Sometimes we can start with cultivating heartfeltness, not an easy word to say, or we can be cultivating openness, or maybe we're not, maybe we're just in a stage where we're just noticing these dynamics. And we're noticing that, you know, there seems to be more peace and freedom and ease, better quality relationships. I'm a little bit more authentic with myself, and I'm supporting myself and I'm supporting others when I tend to be more open. But you don't, of course, have to take my word for this. The invitation is to just investigate. Just notice. Pay attention. Like, okay, when I'm feeling like this and I have these types of conversations, do I feel pushed around? Do I feel backed into a corner? Or do I feel like I have a lot of choices, a lot of freedom, a lot of ease? Which goes on with a certain amount of heartfeltness. So with loving kindness practice, we can cultivate the heartfeltness. And this heartfeltness then can create the conditions in which there can be more openness, which creates the conditions for our relationships to be, maybe have some more warmth or some more movement in them, instead of just slipping into the same old patterns that we might be doing. So loving kindness practice is a way of just cultivating, I like to use this expression, creating the conditions, cultivating some warm-heartedness, some openness, some care, love, kindness, benevolence, goodwill. And we're not forcing these emotions, these feelings to arise. We're not making them, we're not engineering them, we're not manufacturing them, we're not manipulating them. We're just creating the conditions in which they might arise. they might not arise also. And that's perfectly fine. That's perfectly fine. The value of this is not necessarily what happens during our meditation period. It isn't, you know, in these times when we're in a formal meditation posture, if we have some particular experience, then that's good, and if we don't, it's bad. It's fantastic. It's just fascinating how there's benefits, there's consequences, there's effects from this practice, independent of having some particular feeling during meditation. This is true for everything we do. Everything has consequences. And it's true for everything that we don't necessarily have the exact consequences we want, right? Or prefer. So with loving-kindness practice, we're creating the conditions in which some loving-kindness might arise. And we do this practice the way that I teach it, with three different elements. The first element is to visualize. Visualize, we'll start where it's easy. We'll start where it's easy. Absolutely no reason to start where it's difficult. And often where it's easy is to bring to mind somebody for whom we just naturally have a lot of warmth, care, respect, goodwill. And the second part, an uncomplicated relationship with. Might be a lot of people that we have warmth and goodwill and kindness towards, but then there was that time that they did that thing that really ended up that other thing, and So sometimes if we can slip into that. We can slip into the getting a little bit irked or out of the loving kindness. So some people find it helpful to, for it's easy, the person that they choose for it's easiest to be somebody maybe they don't know well, maybe you've never actually met. Could be a teacher, spiritual leader, somebody that's inspiring, that somehow there's like an inner smile, in whatever way you understand that, when this person comes to mind. And if nobody in particular comes to mind, or that feels too complicated to find someone, a lot of people find it helpful to start with puppies or babies or kittens or little squirrels or... I don't know, this is like, this shows a little bit maybe how odd I am. That's when I wake up in the morning and I go to the kitchen, there's a number of little ants, like maybe 20, and I'm just like watching them, and they're just so cute. They're going around looking, it's not a big infestation or anything like this. And I've just been watching these little ants while I'm waiting for my coffee. And I don't know, somehow they just are a little bit endearing, these little ants. If it was an infestation, I might have a little different feeling. But, just these little ones crawling around, doing whatever ants do. So we start with where it's easy, wherever this, wherever we can have this sense of warmth or openness. And then the second element is to use the sensations in our body as a way to support us. It's not 100% in the head. Where it's not just all a mental event. Often there's a feeling, it might not be our dominant experience, it may just be a little corner of our experience, just a feeling of well-being. Nothing flashy, it's not fireworks, but just a quiet sense of contentment, maybe a little bit of warmth, maybe a little bit of ease. That may not be there also. Perfectly fine. But if it is there, you're going to allow that to grow and to support your practice. So that's the second element. And then the third element, to really remind ourselves that what we're doing here is cultivating loving kindness as we say certain phrases, repeat certain phrases. And so you can repeat the phrases after me silently in your mind. I'll be leading us in this. And just like how we often do mindfulness of breathing, sometimes using the phrases is a way, is when the mind is wandering off, just to bring it back. Oh yeah, I'm here, creating the conditions for loving kindness. And then the mind wanders, and then, oh yeah, I'm here, creating the conditions for loving kindness. And then the mind wanders, and then we come back. It doesn't matter how many times the mind wanders. It doesn't matter. The point is that we're coming back, and I'm helping us with these phrases, so. Maybe one last thing I'll say before we begin is it can be really helpful to have a comfortable posture. It's really hard for anybody who's tried to, you know, kind of have an openness or a warmth when you feel like you're struggling with pain. So have a posture that feels supportive. Some people like to lie down. You're welcome to lie down if you'd like. And you're welcome to get a whole collection of cushions if you'd like to. And to adjust your posture if you need to. Okay, so with that as an introduction, maybe a long one, let's begin by taking an alert, upright posture, one that expresses some awakeness as well as some ease and relaxation. And then we'll take three long, slow, deep breaths. Just as a way to connect with the body, connect with the sensations, connect to the moment. It might be that with the exhale, it's a little bit of letting go, a little bit of relaxation. Then allowing the breath to return to normal and trusting that the body knows how to breathe. Nothing in particular that we need to be doing. To help support a sense of well-being, a sense of ease, it's often helpful to do a body scan, to just check in with different parts of the body. And just sometimes it might be that bringing our attention to certain areas, there's a certain amount of letting go or relaxing or softening. For example, around the eyes, around the jaw, or just the face in general. We can bring our attention to this area of the body. We can feel the neck, and the shoulders, allowing the shoulder blades to slide down the back so that the shoulders are away from the ears. You can feel into an upper back, the lower back. Chest, might there be just a tiny bit more of openness in a way that's still comfortable and relaxed, but in a way that's maybe counteracts any tendency to collapse around in the chest or close down. And the belly, can we soften the belly? And feel the pressure of the chair or the cushion against your body and feel supported, connected, allowing gravity to do its work while we're still have some alertness. the upper legs, the lower legs, and the feet. Another place where we can feel grounded and connected and present. The upper arms, the lower arms, and the hands. Most likely your hands are touching something. Just feel those sensations of touch. Might be warm or cool, smooth or rough. Might feel a bit of tingly or throbbing in the hands themselves. We're just noticing. And then we'll begin with a little bit of mindfulness of breathing. Can bring your awareness to the sensations of breathing, that is, the movement of the abdomen, the movement of the chest, or the feeling of the air going in and out of the nose. Choose one of those three areas, whatever feels the most supportive, accessible, available, vivid, and just hang out there with the sensations of breathing. It might be that you find yourself lost in thought. That's okay. You don't have to make it a problem. You just very simply, gently begin again with the sensations of breathing. Just resting our awareness, bringing our attention to the sensations of breathing. Nothing needs to be happening. You're just simply noticing the breath. What does it feel like? So this practice, mindfulness of the sensations of breathing, you can always come back to this practice if you feel overwhelmed or confused, or for some reason loving kindness practice just doesn't feel like the right practice for you today, this time. You can always come back to this practice. Otherwise, to begin loving kindness practice, bring to mind a lovable being. As I said, somebody for whom it's easy to feel love and warmth, care. You can check in with the body. Are there any particular sensations associated with bringing this being to mind? Sensations may be really subtle, they may be obvious, and they may be can't feel anything in particular at all. It's all perfectly fine. And then to support our cultivation of loving kindness for the lovable being, you can repeat the phrases. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. I want to check in with the body and see if there is any feeling of openness, warm-heartedness, heartfeltness. And if so, just allow it to get as big as it would like. We're not forcing it, we're just allowing. And we can come back to the phrases. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. Now I'll be silent for a bit. You can go at your own pace. And maybe there's some words that are more resonant for you. Like, change the words for you. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. Then we'll build on this foundation of loving kindness that we've been cultivating and expand, perhaps you can think of it that way, to include ourselves, to extend loving kindness to ourselves, warmth and care, respect to ourselves. In the same way, you can bring yourself to mind, whether by feeling what it's like to be sitting here and now, the physical sensations associated with being here now. Or can visualize yourself either how you are now, or some people like to do when they were younger, even when they were children, maybe even toddlers or babies. Whatever way feels the most supportive for you, then you can check in with the body and see if there's been any shift, any little change with changing the recipient of the loving kindness. And then for the phrases, we'll just change the pronoun. May I be safe. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. May I be safe. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. May I be safe. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. May I be safe. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. May I be safe. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. Again, we can allow any feelings of well-being, contentment, ease, warmth, maybe even happiness, peace, spaciousness. We can just allow it to support us, allow it to get as big as it would like. Perfectly fine if you don't feel it, or perfectly fine if it's just staying the same. So to support our loving kindness practice, it can be helpful to include a little bit of equanimity practice as well. So for this practice, can bring to mind somebody for whom you have warm feeling towards, you care about, and yet there might be just a little bit of tension, a little bit of uncomfortableness sometimes in the relationship. Not your most difficult relationship. Might be a family member, might be a coworker, somebody, usually somebody that you know. So you can bring this mildly bothersome, sometimes person to mind. Again, I don't want us to go with it the most difficult. And we can say this phrase: I wish you happiness, and I cannot make your choices for you. I wish you happiness, but I cannot make your choices for you. I wish you happiness, and I cannot make your choices for you. I wish you happiness, but I cannot make your choices for you. I wish you happiness, but I cannot make your choices for you. I wish you happiness, and I cannot make your choices for you. And then to end this meditation, feel the pressure of the chair, the cushion against your body. Feel your feet on the ground. And when you're ready, you can gently open your eyes. So it can be helpful to kind of help integrate our any understandings or experiences or ideas that we might have by if we talk about them, share about them, something about trying to put words to and kind of organize our thoughts around helps things have a little bit more impact. And whether your experience was just falling asleep or dreaming about dinner, or if it was about like, wow, I really had some feeling of openness and warmth or whatever it might have been. So I'd like to invite you to get into groups of three and just to talk about your experience. You don't have to talk about your deepest, darkest secrets. And please don't give each other advice. We're not here for advice giving, but more just kind of an opportunity for you to use this as an opportunity for some of the activity of articulating your experience can be really helpful way to kind of like maybe shed some light on it. And we'll have just about 10 minutes. So if you can get together in groups of three and talk about how this was, it'd be great. Thank you. We have time for maybe one or two comments or questions or something you'd like to share, something that maybe came up or that feels alive and you want to share. This very often is the case.
Diana, right?
Yes.
Thank you. So they're sharing with my team in my role. The third phrase that you asked her to say, I wish you happiness. I cannot make your choices for you. And I'm in a position in corporate world where I had to direct people, tell them, get things done across the world. And if you do more and more of that, it kind of gets into you that you're wanting to make choices for them. And this was a good kind of a reconfirmation on there's only so much you can do and you got to let go of.
Yeah.
It's hard to separate sometimes because you're spending 12, 14 hours a day working versus your personal life. So, simple, but thank you.
Yes, you're welcome. Yeah, it's so easy to slip into like trying to control things that we can't control, trying to control people that we can't control. So common, so common. And I'm looking at the clock. It's actually 7:00 now. So I wish you all a wonderful evening. May you find some safety and happiness and health and ease. Thank you.